And now, on with the show.
Try. Welcome everyone once again to Weekend Watch, a production of the Three Guys One Up Podcast Network. I'm one of the hosts, Spencer, here with Keith.
Well, hi.
And also David.
Hi.
Welcome to the first Weekend Watch of 2022. Everybody, I don't know what else to say. Happy New Year. We did a New Year's episode, so I'm over it. But we're going to get into it. We got our first episode of the new year. This makes episode 81, I think. We've done this 80 times already.
Goddamn.
Yeah, we're getting there. We got to do something special for episode 100, so I don't have any ideas. It's going to be a normal episode, probably.
Yeah, I've got nothing, but, I mean, I'll think about it once or twice.
We'll wear funny hats. That's a cool thing for podcasts. we got a theme this week, guys. We're talking about time travel. I love a good time travel plot, right? It's always interesting to see how people tackle it. Sometimes it makes a lot of sense. Sometimes it makes no sense, and I hate it, but we'll get into it, right?
Sometimes I love that it makes no sense, and they just make it work like magic, but sometimes I hate it. You're right.
Like, I don't know. I don't have any good examples because I'm bad at this. What's a time travel movie you think does not work plot wise? Back to the Future, maybe?
I mean, yeah, their time travel's pretty poor.
Time travel doesn't, in Back to the Future, doesn't work, but they make up for it by being great movies elsewhere.
That's fair. Yeah.
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 So let's get into it. Let's talk about some other time travel stuff. David, why don't you go first?
Well, I've got my own sub theme this week. See if you can pick up on it. My first recommendation.
Real subtle.
Oh man, you got to listen real close because you might not pick up how subtle this theme is, this sub theme.
Key in on the intricacies of his explanations of these movies.
You have to have an IQ over 150 to be able to pick this up.
Well, anyway, my first recommendation this week is X-Men Days of Future Past. Convinced that mutants pose a threat to humanity, Dr. Bolivar Trask develops the Sentinels, enormous robotic weapons that can detect a mutant gene and zero in on that person. In the 21st century, the Sentinels have evolved into highly efficient killing machines. With mutants now facing extinction, Wolverine volunteers to go back in time and rally the X-Men of the past to help change a pivotal moment in history and thereby save the future. This is a pretty important storyline in the comic books, and I think that this movie does a pretty good job of representing it. You know, the X-Men movies aren't always hits, but I very much enjoyed watching this movie again. I was arguing with Mystic. She seems to think that X-Men was part of the whole Marvel hitting their perfect casting stride. And while I think that there are some great cast picks in this, there are some that I very much disagree with, like Elliot Page, Ellen Page as Kitty Pryde. Even before the official transition, I think that she was nowhere near, like, Kitty Pryde's kind of like, I'm always familiar with her being this kind of like high school teenage girly girl, you know, and Ellen Page has never ever been that.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird pick,
but
not terrible, but yeah, there's a few weird ones in here. At first, I wasn't a huge fan of what's her name, Rogue,
Anna. Yeah, yeah, Anna Paquin.
Originally, I wasn't, but I thought she played it really well, so I can't hate to.
She didn't do terrible, but I do think that she got that part because she was coming off of her popularity from True Blood.
Yeah,
When was she first introduced?
That was the first one.
Yeah, and that was like right after the first season.
True Blood was like 6 years later.
Was it? Is my timeline all fucked up?
Way bad.
She was pretty young when she did the first one.
Yeah, the first X-Men was like 2001? 2000. 2000.
Man, we were both late.
Fucking True Blood didn't True come Blood out until 2008. 2008. Eight years later.
Dang. Well, then what the fuck? Why was she chosen as Rogue?
I don't know. She's All That? She was in She's All That?
Yeah, I don't know. Like she, I remember seeing
She's All That? Freddie Prinze Jr., Sarah Michelle Gellar.
That's a great 90s movie.
I got nothing.
Come on, man. Rachel Lee Cook, Matthew Lillard, one of his last 90s movies.
Anyway.
Nothing? Still nothing?
Days of... No.
All right. She was also in Almost Famous at the same time.
Oh, sorry. I'm not up on the teeny bopper movies like you are.
Almost Famous? Are you calling Almost Famous a teeny bopper movie?
It sounds like a teeny bopper movie.
We saw that came out
that one year, one of these weeks.
Almost Famous? You never watched... you didn't actually watch Almost Famous? That movie's fucking great.
Are you surprised that David didn't watch one of your picks?
No, not that surprised.
He looks angry. He made a smirk. Now he's not talking.
You got to explain it to the audience.
Oh, man. David, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you.
I don't really feel offended.
Oh, okay. Were you farting? Were you pooping? Is that why you weren't talking and making a squishy face?
Are you distracted by my video? Will this help us proceed?
Maybe. Talk about the time travel in your movie.
So they use Kitty Pryde's power to project Wolverine's consciousness into his younger body. And that's how they achieve the time travel in their movie. It's a little bit, I was unaware that Kitty Pryde had this power, but I'm not that familiar with Kitty Pryde in the later comics. So maybe she develops this.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think this is
later comics.
Yeah. Right. I think this was the best of the X-Men franchise, personally. Yeah, this was a fantastic movie.
I think I agree. I love this movie. I love the characters in it. They got all of the characters pretty spot on. And, you know, Hugh Jackman is Wolverine. So yeah,
he was jacked in this movie.
God, he was just cut. And he was so good. He was really good. As good as McAvoy and Fassbender and the whole crew are, like, I think Hugh Jackman just kind of carries these movies along, and he does so well in this movie.
Yeah, definitely. Fassbender was another one that was just also phenomenal.
He's just fucking great, and his Magneto is incredible. He captures so much emotion out of it, and I love it.
Definitely. Great pick, great movie.
Great time travel too. Very unique, very different, and it still works. I liked it a lot. This is a cool way of traveling.
And this one kicked off kind of a new era in the X-Men franchise too, right? Was this movie number 4?
I think this was movie number 5. I think this one came after First Class.
This was, yeah. So
and yeah, right. So First Class kicked off the, because it made reference to the Cuba incident, and First Class was the first one with McAvoy and Fassbender. Yeah,
if you haven't seen First Class, I do recommend.
First Class was great.
First Class was also phenomenal. Yeah,
they went off the rails with Apocalypse, unfortunately.
Very much
it
did. So.
They jumped the shark a bit, but it still wasn't awful. Yeah, it was pretty bad. you could leave out probably the first handful of X-Men movies if you weren't wanting to go back that far, but at least watch First Class before diving into this one, so you can get a little bit updated with what's happening.
Yeah, definitely. Right on. Check it out. It's currently on
Disney Plus.
I'll go next. I'm going to talk about one of my favorite time travel movies, also kind of almost a neo-noir movie, and it is 2012's Looper, written and directed by Rian Johnson of Knives Out and Last Jedi fame. It's in a future society, time travel exists, but it's only available to those with the means to pay for it on the black market. When the mob wants to eliminate someone, it sends the target into the past, where a hitman known as a Looper lies in wait to finish the job. Joe is one such hired gun, and he does his job well, until the day his bosses decide to close the loop and send Joe's future self back in time to be killed. Yeah, it's a pretty great neo-noir action sci-fi mystery thriller with this time travel element peppered into it, and it's fantastic. Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis play the title character. And I love it. What did you guys think?
I think this movie's great. I think their use of time travel is really unique. You know, a lot of time going back, right back to Back to the Future, you know, one of the biggest tropes going back into time travel is never see yourself. Don't go see yourself. That's a paradox. You'll fuck shit up. You'll split all the time up. And they just kind of lean into it. They're like, nope, that's how you close your loop, is you fuck the paradox up and you kill yourself. And that's
right.
I love that. I love that they kind of toyed with how time works in our cinema knowledge of it.
Yeah.
I also love the casting. Everybody's great. Emily Blunt is great. Paul Dano is just fucking pitiful and amazing. I love it.
Jeff Daniels.
Yeah, Jeff Daniels was fucking great.
Are you guys, I have to ask this. So I'd never actually seen this movie before you made this rec. You know, and I was aware of it and kind of the premise, but you know, it's a great movie. I'm glad I watched it. I am in no way intimidated by Jeff Daniels.
Daniels, as a big bad, yeah,
like he is a mob guy. Yeah, he is such not a hard ass character. He is just like, in my mind, he's this like big soft. He's fucking Jeff Daniels. I don't know. I couldn't see him as that mob character, but you know, I thought it's not really a complaint. It was just like something I.
It's an interesting question, though, right? Yeah. Who would you cast in that role?
Oh shit!
Yeah, I don't know. I thought Jeff Daniels did a great job. You know, while he doesn't have that same air, he's got that newsroom type air about him, where it's not so much intimidating as it is commanding.
Right.
And I dig it. And he still puts a little Jeff Daniels flair into it. You know, Joe's learning French and he's like, you should learn Mandarin. Like, it's like I'm from the future.
I'm dude. From the future. You should learn Mandarin. Like, yeah. It's that kind of like quick wit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I think worked really well. Kind of that banter between them.
Right.
But yeah, he's not supposed to be he doesn't have, I guess he played it as, you know, he doesn't have to show his ruthlessness because he is.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be this big thing. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. Whatever I could see where you're coming from for sure.
Whatever, yeah, I know what you mean.
Whatever they did to Joseph Gordon-Levitt's face to make him look more Bruce Willis-y.
It threw me off.
Yeah.
It was a bit jarring.
It was like being high and like, I don't know. That was
it was
my brain was like, this is Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and I was like trying to see his face, and it's like, no, this is
his nose was like, all weird. Like they did,
yeah.
It was weird.
The eyebrows.
They should have just left his face. They should have just left his face. They've been doing
just
this
do it. Yeah, just do
cinema
it.
Forever, where it's like they're supposed to be brothers. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito aren't fucking twins, okay?
God damn it. I'm not sure that's the best example, but I get where you're going. I think that was kind of the point of the movie. oh, man. But no, I do understand where you're coming from. But yeah, it's jarring at first, but after a bit, I kind of stopped noticing it. Like the further into the movie I got. Maybe that's just me.
I never stopped noticing it.
I kind of just got used to it and didn't really care about it anymore, but yeah, I you still notice it.
Right on.
Good movie though. I really enjoy this one. The way they mess with time, the way the writing, the story, it's unique, it's different. Yeah,
this like world it. That they created, and they didn't really feel like delving too much into showing off this like future kind of dystopian world that they
They did that really well, right? Because like it takes place in 2044, and then the time travel comes from 30 years beyond that. 2044 is still, fuck, what year is it? I don't know. 22 years away from here, right?
Yeah.
And it seems like, I mean, and a lot of it is, you know, decrepit, rundown buildings.
I mean, we already have
huge, like, you know, discrepancy in income.
Yeah, we already have the crowd, the vagrants.
Vagrants, yeah. and, you know, like that someone was still driving like a, you know, a mid 2010s truck, you know, but it just had been retrofitted for whatever, you know, there was small retrofits to make it look like, oh yeah, you know, whatever. I liked that. It was not, it wasn't all flying cars and, you know, yeah, jets and shit.
It was tangible. Like slapping solar panels on fucking Toyota specs and
right.
Going yeah. about your day.
Yeah, exactly. I liked that. I liked the dystopian kind of version of the future.
Yeah, it worked. It felt like, I don't know, it felt a little too close to home, but it worked. That's why it worked.
Oh man, 11 years or 10 years later and we haven't learned a thing. Anyway, check it out. It's Looper. It's currently on Hulu. Or no, Netflix. It's on Netflix. My mistake. Let's move on. Keith, what do you got?
My first pick is also going to be on Disney Plus. It is a show, and I feel like it is a lot of fun, also kind of dark. It is Loki. That's kind of his thing. A lot of fun, kind of dark. This one, we get a little wacky with it, and I liked it. It was in a very good way. Loki is kind of wrenched out of one universe, and he's finding out that this is happening to a lot of Lokis, and they are what are called variants. And these different variants are endangering the very flow of time. So they're trying to do away with the Lokis. And there's just a lot of Loki in this, and it's done very, very well. Amazing cast, as Disney is known for doing in all of these. You know, it is part of the MCU, but it has that feeling of disconnect because it's not very superhero-y, you know? It feels a lot more just fantasy. Yeah. You know, where Hawkeye felt very real, grounded, because it's a very real, grounded guy. You're going around with Loki, god of mischief, when he's out of his fucking element. So this is very fantasy. This whole time we're focused in on like the superhero aspect of the fantasy, and this gets a lot more into the workings of this multiverse that we are starting to get a feel for now in the MCU. It's great.
Yeah, I agree. I really like also that at its heart, it's a mystery.
Yeah,
more than anything, which is. I like the idea of using the TV shows that Marvel is doing to branch into other genres. Because you can't really do that with the films, right? The films pretty much need to follow the overarching plot. They need to be superhero movies. There needs to be action, blah, blah, blah. But with the shows, you get that chance to really branch out and try new things. And I like that.
I do too. I feel that. And I think they do a really good job of that.
The time travel stuff was really cool. The ideas of the different branching realities and, you know, focusing on the sacred timeline and all of that. It was just fun. It was a lot of fun. A lot of stuff introduced that is going to have to be explored further, either in a second season or, you know, in the MCU at large. Hopefully, you know, we haven't really seen too much of it yet where the shows really start impacting the films, and I'm curious as to whether or not they're going to make that a thing.
Yeah, definitely. I really like how they caught me off guard with a few things in Loki. It's like, oh shit, they're going there. And then it's like, oh shit, what is happening now? There's like, it has a handful of oh shit moments that you're really not expecting. And I think they did a great job of it.
Yeah, I agree. Between this and WandaVision, they're really doing a great job with these shows that go out on a limb a bit.
For sure.
You know, Hawkeye and Winter Soldier were great in their own right, but
a little more vanilla.
Yeah, a little more vanilla. It's nice to see them not afraid to take risks. Cool. Anything else we want to say about Loki?
No, check it out.
Disney Plus. David, are you ready to reveal give us the big theme. Reveal? Of your theme?
Yeah. Okay. Right. So I'm going to tell you my second rec and then you guess.
Okay.
It's Deadpool 2 on Hulu right now.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
I get it now.
It's a superhero.
It's romantic theme. Comedies.
Oh.
That's really funny because Deadpool 2 kind of is a romantic comedy.
A little.
A little.
If you really squint.
Wisecracking mercenary Deadpool meets Russell, an angry teenage mutant who lives at an orphanage. When Russell becomes the target of Cable, a genetically enhanced soldier from the future, Deadpool realizes that he'll need some help saving the boy from such a superior enemy. He soon joins forces with Bedlam, Shatterstar, Domino, and other powerful mutants to protect young Russell from Cable and his advanced weaponry. This is another jaunt back into the world of Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool. I mean, and it's just Ryan Reynolds being Ryan Reynolds, right? Let's be honest here. it is a heaping dose of the same awesomeness as the first movie. A more amazing cast. Josh Brolin is just apparently going to be all the badasses in the MCU. Because his Cable was amazing. I honestly, that was
one badass
one of the best parts.
And Thanos, Thanos isn't. He's strong enough. He's a badass in that regard, but not really that badass.
Yeah, he's
what? Come on, What's your definition of badass then?
Someone who kills half the population of literally anything.
Badass.
Badass.
Badass. I'm just saying that Johnny Lawrence of Cobra Kai would definitely be a fan of Thanos.
Okay, you're right. That makes him pretty badass.
Pretty badass.
I also wanted to kind of give a special shout out here. I really loved their Domino character in this movie. I really want to see that character more. Honestly, one of my favorite characters from the comics. Her power is just luck, and she just like jaunts through life. It's amazing. Yeah, I love
the swank of this character because of that. She's just got this thing about her that, you know, it's all gravy, dude. That's pretty much
like, I'll figure it out when I get there.
And she's always got that going for her, and it's fucking awesome. I love it.
Yeah. Zazie Beetz. That's Zazie Beetz.
That it is. That she is. Lots of Easter eggs all over the place. Apparently Matt Damon played one of the rednecks.
Yeah.
I didn't even know.
You didn't catch that? It was good.
No.
It was really good.
They put Not at all.
They put a big fake nose on him, right?
Yeah. Did they?
Yeah. And Brad Pitt makes like half of a fucking second cameo in this. He's the Vanisher who gets electrocuted on the line. Did you guys catch that?
Uh-huh. No. It was good.
Yeah.
I really liked that.
It is no shit, just like a blink of Brad Pitt. But this movie's amazing. Deadpool is such fantastic humor. This movie is gory and just as rated R as the first one. I think it's a great sequel. I want to see way, way more.
Yeah, I'm curious. You said dose of MCU earlier, and this to be clear is not an MCU movie. It's a X-Men universe movie.
Yes. Yeah. It's been officially acquired by Disney.
They bought Fox. But it's not the MCU yet.
The possibility. They're giving it the legs, and I think they're giving it X-Force bones so they can remove themselves from the X-Men side of things, and they'll just go into X-Force, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do, because what I've heard, the news is supposed to be that Ryan Reynolds should be reprising Deadpool in the MCU, but this movie is not MCU canon.
Yeah, and he's also said he's taken a pretty good break from acting right now, because he's just been pumping out movies left and right.
Yeah, that he has.
Had like a baby or something, didn't he? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
So our next iteration of Deadpool is going to be a ways out, but I long for it nonetheless. This is one of those rare instances that the second movie is just as good as the first. I was really quite worried because of how successful Deadpool 1 was that they might just try too hard and jump the shark with it, and they did not. They did everything right. They captured Deadpool once again, and then some. You know, they added in all these ancillary characters that just made Deadpool more Deadpool, and I loved it. I loved every second of it.
You guys remember when they tried to make Ryan Reynolds be Deadpool in that X-Men or Wolverine Origins movie?
And they sewed his mouth shut? the Merc with the mouth.
Yeah, hilarious. God,
and
that was awful.
And then they address that at the end of this movie. Like, he goes back and just, like, erases all the mistakes that Ryan Reynolds.
Man, I love the credits of this movie. I don't know. They just nail everything. Absolutely everything.
Yeah, definitely.
Great cast again, too. You know, got Terry Crews coming in, Bill Skarsgård coming in, Rob Delaney. Like you already mentioned, Josh Brolin, but there's a ton of these like side characters that are also just a lot of fun to watch.
Absolutely. Right on. Check it out. It is Deadpool 2. It's currently streaming on Hulu. I'll go next, I suppose. My second time travel pick this week is a Netflix original series from 2019 called Russian Doll. Where is it? Emmy-nominated actress Natasha Lyonne stars in this comedy-drama series as Nadia, a young woman who's on a journey to be the guest of honor at a party in New York City. But she gets caught in a mysterious loop as she repeatedly attends the same event and dies at the end of the night each time, only to awaken the next day unharmed as if nothing had happened. In addition to starring, she also co-created the show with Amy Poehler. It's a really, really interesting take on the Groundhog's Day scenario, right? Where you're living and repeating the same day over and over.
Yeah.
Natasha Lyonne is the star of the show. She also created it, I believe, and wrote it, and just does a really great job with a really interesting twist on, you know, like I said, Groundhog's Day, live, die, repeat, etc. David, what did you describe it as?
I
know
you only
got an episode or two in, right?
I'm 2.5 episodes in, and I described it as insufferable New York hipster Groundhog Day.
I mean, it is that a little bit at the beginning, but give it a shot. Keep watching it. There's some really cool twists. It takes a few unexpected turns and gets really almost cerebral, I think.
I'm not hating it so far. I'm interested in it, but I mean,
it's definitely the character
hipster trash here. This is
I think they want these, that, you know, they're
kind of going for
they're leaning into those few characters for sure.
I guess, but these people are just each so up their own asses.
Yeah. It's great.
and that's kind of the point. Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with Spencer that it does get pretty cerebral. I really like the direction they went. I'm really ready for more. This is just 8 episodes that we have right now from 2019. So I think you said we should be getting more soon. So that's exciting.
Yeah, I don't think there's a release date yet, but there have been announcements that filming has wrapped.
That's awesome, because this is a really cool one. It's really fucking funny too. Like I in a pretty dark way, but nonetheless, I've been laughing at it a lot in my rewatch.
Agreed. It is really dark humor, and I loved it.
Natasha Lyonne. Like this whole show is kind of her personality. It seems like.
Yeah, I agree with that completely.
Yeah. She's if you're into Natasha Lyonne as an actress, and I mean I've been following her for a while. She's been in.
God damn, she was born in 1979.
Bunch of stuff, man.
Yeah.
She does not look that old.
She really doesn't. Yeah, she looks great. She was in the first time I remember seeing her as an adult, at least, because she was in a bunch of teen movies.
American Pie.
American Pie. But Orange is the New Black. She was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
That was where I really started to like know her from.
I really dig this show, and she does carry it, but I like the other characters too. You know, they did a good job bringing in some of these kind of nobodies and giving them a good voice within the show, and I like it. I think they're doing a great job. I like the concept too. You know, Groundhog's Day is some of my favorite style of time travel. It's easy, it's concise, you get it right away, even though you don't get it. It's one of those that part of the story is finding an explanation as to why this is happening to him, and sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But that's the fun of Groundhog's Day, is it's not a scientist trying to explain to you how they're going to jump through time. It's just something happening to somebody.
You don't have to worry about paradoxes and all that shit that makes you go, wait a second. It's just, you can really delve into the story. Yeah. It was like Palm Springs. Like, give me more adult style Groundhog's Day stuff. I'm all for it.
Yeah, man. Palm Springs was so great. One of my favorite aspects of that one, why it's still one of my favorites of the modern Groundhog's Day, is that you're in the thick of his Groundhog's Day. He doesn't even remember like how long he's been there. Like, a lot of Groundhog's Day, like Russian Doll, starts out kind of at the beginning and they're trying to figure it out there. But it feels like there's also kind of a reason more in Russian Doll. You're working towards something. And Groundhog's Day types don't always have that. They just kind of resolve in a either bleak or just kind of, oh yeah, this happened kind of way.
Right. Yeah. Check it out. It's Russian Doll. It's currently streaming on Netflix. Let's wrap it up. Keith, bring it home.
I'm going to go with one of my favorite movies. It is on Tubi right now. It is 2001's Donnie Darko. And this is a interesting kind of time travel movie because, I don't know, it doesn't feel like a time travel movie throughout most of it. It's just kind of an odd story, you know? It's this story about this kind of disturbed teen trying to make his way through life after surviving a freak accident. He's already got some mental health issues and he's working through that. He's having a tough time at school. And he's just kind of exploring growing up, you know. It's a really odd coming of age story for some kind of misfit, not just kind of, the very misfitted people, you know. It's an interesting tale. It's not one that I've seen done in this way ever again. I don't know if you could ever make a Donnie Darko-like movie ever again. And if you're able to, I highly recommend watching Director's Cut if you can get your hands on it. There's a lot of extra information in there that is fucking great. And this film is just, it's a thinker. It's a moviegoer's film. It's got a lot of great stuff going for it. I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, you're on that subject of, can you make another one? I mean, Richard Kelly tried with Southland Tales.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you're right. Southland Tales was a little just too much up its own ass.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It's not good though.
No. I enjoy it. I really do enjoy Southland Tales. I don't think it's something that I revisit often, but I remember watching it going, "Huh, that was kind of a mind fuck," and then moving on.
Yeah. So yeah, Donnie Darko though is this, I feel like this is one of those movies of our like coming of age generation.
Yeah. I was going to say it's required viewing for every angsty teenager from the 90s.
Yeah. if you're an older millennial, at one point you probably went through a Donnie Darko phase. It's like Fight Club.
If you're an older millennial, there's a high chance that you have a Frank tattoo. You know, that's the Frank kind mask, of movie.
Like,
yeah,
in your house somewhere or something like that. Yeah,
this is that ingrained into our generation. I think
it's so ingrained in my head that if any song from the score comes up, any one of these songs from the soundtrack comes up, it's like, oh, that's from that scene in Donnie Darko. Like it happens to me all the time. Like all
that version of Mad World.
Yeah, every time.
The best version of Mad World.
It is. But there's also the song where he's like kind of drifting through the party. Fuck, I know the song and I can't think of the name of it. But every time that comes on, it's like, oh yeah, this is 100% Donnie Darko. Good love shit. This movie. It's great. It's got a really wacky form of time travel that I really won't get into because I don't really know how to without just diving into the intricacies of this movie. Yeah. So
yeah.
I could just say, if you haven't watched it, definitely watch it. And if you have, go back and revisit it because it holds up. It's great.
Yeah, definitely. Currently on Tubi, right?
Yep.
Right on. Cool. I think that wraps it up, guys. We went a little long today, but that's okay. I'm not worried about it. I hope everybody enjoyed our first episode of 2022. We got a lot in store this year, so definitely keep listening. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Discord. We have a website, 3guys1up.com. You can also find a link to our Patreon. Click that link, give us $5 a month, and we can keep making these shows. With that, we will see you all next week.